Welcome to the Oldie Literary Lunch, sponsored by Noble Caledonia, the world experts in small ship cruising.
Stanley Johnson is much more than the father of the Foreign Secretary. After winning the Newdigate Prize for poetry at Oxford, he became a spy, he's been an MEP, and a very distinguished and prolific writer and traveller. He's just been in Greece, and he's off to Kurdistan. And unlike his son, he would never confuse Afghanistan for the House of Commons. I'm informed by this astonishingly prescient novel, Compromat, which predicted everything that's happened in politics in the last 2 years and has been signed up for a Channel 4 TV series. Stanley Johnson.
I did spend a month in Afghanistan in 1961. I'd been riding a motorcycle of DSA twins and the shooting star from Oxford to Beijing, and we got stuck in the Himalayas. There wasn't a road over, actually, into China then, and we didn't have visas. That was the second point. Third, if there had been a road, it would be blocked by snow. Fourth, we had to get back in time for the Michaelmas term, so we went down to Calcutta instead. But I was called Afghanistan, actually, when I was in the European Parliament. Now, you mentioned Boris. And it is true. People sometimes say to me, no, did I call Boris after Boris Pasternak? Well, I didn't, actually. I called him Boris. Or we called him Boris, in the sense that my wife was involved in this, obviously. You know, we were a modern family, even in those days. I mean, chaps didn't just decide the names of their children without consulting their wives. Anyway, my wife and I have driven down from New York. I have a fellowship which said the only thing you've got to do is drive around America for months and months and months and having a good time. They gave me a huge amount of money. But Charlotte, at that stage, I'm talking about the summer of 1963, was about 8.5 months pregnant. So we got as far as Laredo on the Texas border, and I said, well, why don't we go on to Mexico? And it turned out that we weren't allowed to take the car to Mexico, so we went in a Greyhound bus, and in Mexico City, I met a chap called Boris. And he said, well, how on earth are you going to get your 8.5 month, 9 month pregnant wife back to America? Why didn't I fly you back? And I said, well, that's absolutely wonderful. And then I said, well, if the baby is born and it's a boy, we'll definitely call him Boris after you. Boris. He said, what are you going to call him if he's a girl? He said, I'll call him Doris. Anyway, turned out to be a boy, as you know. But I just want to say, it shouldn't be. But it wasn't, it was a fellow called Boris. Well, yes, my novel is, here it is. Yeah. Here it is, Compromat. And I read it. I write novels. I've been writing novels since 1964, I think. So this is my tenth novel. One of them, called The Commissioner, was made into a film with John Hurt in the title role. I remember once being asked to join him in the filming of a scene in Brussels. And John Hurt was a brilliant actor. And, you know, the chap said, you know, quiet, quiet, quiet. And then John Hurt started, and I was sitting over there. And then somebody held up his hand and said, stop, stop, everybody stop. And then the director said, what's the problem? He said, Stanley is sitting in my eye line. Anyway, this is what happens when you try and get, you know, too big for your boots and think other people are interested in you. Well, this book, Compromat, is indeed my take on what happened. My take on what happened. And I read it very quickly, in the sense that I read it in about 6 weeks. I read it about 6 weeks, slightly over a year ago, because this is the paperback version which came out. I got up at 2 o'clock every morning for 6 weeks, went back to bed at 6 o'clock, breakfast at 7. And if you write 1,500 words every day for 6 weeks, believe me, you rapidly have a novel, you know, 80,000 words. And what was my theory? Well, as Harry said, I did have, you know, a stint, not that I would say much about it, but I did have a stint in the Secret Service, and it always was absolutely obvious to me, completely obvious, that this was an open goal as far as Russia was concerned, the Brexit. Why on earth wouldn't a Secret Service a Russian secret service, not called the KGB, and an organized called the FSB, why wouldn't they seek to manipulate the results of the referendum? I know there's the Brexit free meeting, so I'm not making a point here or there. I'm just writing a thriller. So then I said, okay, well, exactly how did they do it? You see, how did they do it? Obviously, more and more things have come out, because I normally cover the British side, I cover the American side. And if you remember, Britain came before America. We had the referendum in June 2016, and we had the American election in November 2016. So I just go through it, you know, bit by bit. What were the key factors which enabled Russia to swing? Not only the referendum, but also the election of US President Trump. And of course, I put it in fairly melodramatic terms. It begins with a scene set in St. Petersburg. Actually, I'm in St. Petersburg in 10 days' time. I'm rather wondering whether the Russians, I haven't had my visa back from the Russians yet, I'm rather wondering. You know, I had a list on the visa, you know, names of children. I thought to myself, well, actually, Boris's first name is Alexander, so should I write down Alexander and hope they won't notice? Good question. And then I thought, well, what the hell, so I wrote Alexander Boris. Anyway, perfectly obvious how the Russians did it. A, they had lots and lots of Russian agents in the staff of the Leave campaign. B, they put up the money for the Leave campaign. C, they put the message across. The message through endless trolls, use of Facebook, use of social media. More and more of this, of course, has come out. But D, perhaps most important, they had the help of the German Chancellor, who at a critical moment, and I'm talking now in the run-up to June 2016, at a critical moment, opened the floodgates of migration into Europe. Do you remember she goes to the Bundestag and she says, wir schaffen das, you know, we can manage it. Everybody completely shocked. Suddenly, May, June, 3 million immigrants surged into Europe, and of course the trollsters and the social media had absolute, and that was probably the critical fact. In fact, Cummings has recently admitted, Dominic Cummings being the leader of the Leave campaign, has recently admitted that that was probably what tipped it over. Anyhow, but this book is meant to be funny. I mean, I hope you think it's funny. It begins with the Russian president, who I call Igor Popov. A bit like Putin, but I call him Igor Popov, taking the American presidential candidate, whom I call Ronald Craig, not Trump, obviously, Ronald, and he takes him off to visit the Siberian tigers in the Far East, in the Amur Tiger, and accidentally on purpose, he shoots the American presidential candidate in the backside with a hypodermic dart, because he's meant to be, shooting a tiger to anesthetize the tiger, which is what he likes to do in his spare time. You know, takes his shirt off, shoots animals, but not to kill, of course. Unfortunately, he shoots the American presidential candidate, who thereafter goes around with a hypodermic dart in his backside, even though he was removed surgically in Khabarovsk hospital. The radio transmitter stays in place. In the end, the president ends up with 3 hypodermic darts. Anyway, I won't go on. I think you'll find it a useful book. It'll give you a different insight into what happened. By the way, on the American front, I think it is absolutely clear now how the Russians swung it. How did they swing? Obviously, we now have had Comey coming over, speaking about his decision to reopen the inquiry into Hillary Clinton's emails. But why did he really do that? Why did he do it? Because, as you all remember, there was this New York ex-congressman called Merlin Wiener. What was Merlin Wiener's, secret love? He used to like, it's called sexting. Sexting, did that happen down in? Might. Sexting is when you send a message or even a photograph, you know, through the internet. Anyway, so for the purposes of this story, my Russian secret agent, the lady who is planning this whole thing on Popov's behalf, she's head of something called Operation Tectonic Plate. She says, how are we going to really swing the American? We wrapped up Brexit. How are you going to bring Trump in over to? And she says, okay, what we really need to do is to make sure the FBI gets reason, is given a good reason to look at, I can't remember what I call it now, but it wasn't Merlin meaning that the man's real name. I gave him another name in the book. Look at this congressman's laptop, and what happens is that they release some totally fake photographs and exchange of messages between the Wiener character and the lady in the Russian FSB who is dressed up as a 14-year-old weather forecaster, schoolgirl from Champaign, Illinois. You know, and as a result of that, the FBI has good cause, and even the FBI has to have cause for investigating someone's laptop. They get the cause, and by the way, you can actually track, if you go to the Daily Mail website, you can see the full exchange between, you know, this young lady, but the point I'm getting at is the young lady was not actually the weather forecaster in Illinois, someone pretending in Russia to be it. Anyway, as a result of that, the whole thing comes apart. And Comey says we're reopening the inquiry, and Hillary Clinton's campaign goes into a nosedive 3 days before the election. So where do we stand? My theory is, if someone actually reads this book, for example, someone might say, ho ho, well, this vote we had turned out to be a complete phony vote, because it is perfectly obvious the Russians intervened absolutely massively. Now, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Now, this is, of course, where it is very, very intriguing, and this is where we do move into current day situation. We just left, by the way. Anybody who thinks we didn't leave the EU has read it wrong. We left last week when the British Parliament voted through the withdrawal bill, and if the Queen signs it today, it'll be the Withdrawal Act. So don't think we are not out of the EU. We are out of the EU. The only thing we are now arguing is the terms of our future relationship, and that is what, you know, people say, oh, is Parliament going to have a view or not going to have a view, and so on. So where does this Brexit, where does this compromise business come in? As I can see it, it would only come in if people say, look, there was such an abuse of process in our own election, our own referendum, that we do think we need somehow to revisit the referendum. Will that happen? This is where we do move into politics. And honestly, I don't think it will happen. I don't think it will happen. I was a Remainer, no doubt about it. I was up against impossible opposition. I mean, Boris, you can't, he's a force of nature. I mean, I set up a body called Environmentalists for Europe, and we were wiped out. That said, there's still a lot to fight for. Well, I'm getting much too serious now. Let's get back onto the novels. Writing novels is tremendous fun. I have had tremendous fun writing this book, and I can tell you that in theory, at least, you will see a British TV company, is Channel 4, in theory. I say in theory, because you never know what can happen, tricks, cut and lip. But in theory, they've signed a contract to make a series of 6 half-hour funny TV programs on this book. Where do we stand at the moment? They have received the screenplay. They're making up their mind whether to green light it or not. I'm slightly worried, because I read in the Sunday Times yesterday that Channel 4, who were meant to be making this 6-part series for me, Channel 4 apparently doing something with Benedict Cumberbatch. He's a slightly worried. But that's it. They've got 9 months to decide whether to green light this or not. And I think, anyway, this will run and run. Because if you go back, for example, to that brilliant film which came out called The Death of Stalin, did anybody see that? The Death of Stalin, really, really funny. You know, even 3 years from now, this kind of insight, and it's meant to be a funny insight about what happened, what really happened in the referendum, it might be worth watching. I do think, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you will find it worth reading. And thanks very much for having me.
For more about the Oldie magazine and Amber Lunches, go to theoldie.co.uk.